If you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, a couple of different chapters. So you can turn over to Matthew 22, put your finger there, and we're also going to be in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 22 and Matthew 28. I'm excited to share with you the mission of First Baptist Church this morning. How many of you all participated in our members class that we did about a year ago? Anybody in here participate in that class we did on a Wednesday night? All right. Well, some of this may sound familiar, although we've kind of, again, examined the Scriptures to see how we can best line up with what Scripture says and how we can best implement that here at our church. So some of it's the same. Some of it is a little different. Now, how many of you all have not had the opportunity to take our members class yet? I've got great news for you. There's more hands than that. How come half the people have taken it and only about five people haven't? Where are the other half of you? We're going to be having our members class again live. It is online right now. You can view the one from last year if you like, but we're going to do it again live in April. So we're planning on doing that again, kind of updating it a little bit. I would invite everyone to participate in that members class. But this is kind of an introduction, a brief understanding of what First Baptist mission is. Yeah, I've got a confession to make. I can't remember the last time I walked into a gym. I don't know if you can tell by looking at my physique or not, by looking at my arms or not, but I don't go to the gym and work out a whole lot. Am I alone in that? Am I the only one who hasn't been? How many of you have not been in a gym in the last year? Praise the Lord. You are blessed, my brothers and sisters. You know why I don't go into a gym? It's not because I'm lazy. It's not. It's not because I'm out of shape and embarrassed. It's because I don't know what half of those machines do in there, and I don't want to walk in and look like an idiot, right? I really don't. I've seen some of those machines, and I've seen how they're not supposed to be used enough on the internet to know that if I walked in there, it would be embarrassing. You know, one of those leg press machines and me with my shoulder in it trying to shove it up, or something I'm supposed to be pulling down behind me and I'm hanging upside down from. I don't know how any of those machines work. So I do an at-home workout. It consists of me walking from the couch to the refrigerator and back to the couch. I do a lot of lifting of the remote, you know, but I won't walk into a gym. It's too confusing. Have you ever been into a place or walked into a building or been to a program and you just think, I am completely lost? I don't know how to get around in this place. I don't know what all of these things are for, whether it's some entertainment venue or whether it's a store. Have you ever been into a physical IKEA store? Anybody been into an IKEA store? They had one in Charlotte when we lived in North Carolina, and we went there a few times, and it's a labyrinth. It is. There is no direct way to get through an IKEA store. You have to snake all the way through. You're lost the entire time. I'm afraid that there are a lot of people who walk into church and feel the same way. They come into our building, and if you've not been here before, if you're watching live, our building is laid out a little different. Our sanctuary is on the second floor, so they walk in, and hopefully they're greeted by someone who can help find the sanctuary up the stairs. It's kind of a confusing, I won't say it's a maze, it's not hard, but if you've not been here before, it may be difficult. Then you sit down in the worship service and all of a sudden people just stand up without prompting a lot of times. They just stand up or they just sit down. Nobody says anything. Everybody's just sitting down. And I've seen even some of our regulars every once in a while. You think you know the pattern of when to stand up and sit down, and you'll stand up and you'll look around and realize nobody else is standing up, and so you sit down real quick. Sometimes worship can be confusing. And then maybe if you're a new believer, or maybe just a seeker, and you're not a Christian, but you're involved in a service, and the preacher says, open your Bible to the book of Matthew. And you go, I've only got one book, it's the Bible. Where's this book of Matthew? How do I find what I'm looking for? And so you're kind of looking at everybody else, and they seem to know what they're doing, and you feel lost and confused. I'm afraid that church, for people who come to church, feels pretty routine and regular. But for a lot of people who don't come to our church, it can be overwhelming and confusing. Dare I say this too, for a lot of the regulars who come to church, church is not confusing for you, but you have your routine. This is how I do things. I show up at 9:30, actually probably more like 9:35 or 9:40 to Sunday school. By the way, those of you who are laughing know that that's 10 minutes too late for Sunday school, right? Sunday school starts at 9:30, so you roll in, you do your Sunday school thing. All right, you have your time that the bell rings. You know you have 15 minutes to get up to the sanctuary between the bell and the start. start of service. And so you know how much time it takes to go to the bathroom or get a cup of coffee or move around. And so you get your routine. You come in here. You know when to stand up. You know when to sit down. You know when to open your Bible. You know when to close. You know when children's church is dismissed. You're disappointed because they've got the cool toys, but you can plug through. You know the routine of things. But really, your Sunday mornings are pretty purposeless. You show up, you do your thing, and you go home. I don't know that it's any better for the regular church attender to show up and go through the motions than it is for someone who has never been here before and be confused. The point is, if you don't understand why you're here or the mission of the church, really our services are pretty pointless. If you don't understand why we gather together, what is the purpose of gathering together at all? You'll end up being like me in a gym. You'll just stop coming because it won't matter and it'll be too confusing. So this morning, I want to look at Scripture and outline exactly what the mission of the church is. If you come to our members class or you watch our members class, you'll kind of get an expansion of this, if you will. Really, there's kind of a three parts leading up to the mission. I'm going to briefly summarize them. When you think of First Baptist Church, just think of 1, 2, and 3. One is we address the participants of our church, and that is, think of one being unity. We are all united in our faith in Christ. And so it begins with a group of people who are united with this premise: Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sins and lead your life. So there's unity. Two, we ask, what is the values of our church? We actually have 6 statements of what we believe, but really it can be summed up in this way. We value that the Word of God is the Word of God. We believe the Word of God is 2 things. It is real, it is true. Absolutely true. So we believe that it's real, and we believe that it is relevant. It applies to you today. Everything we do is based out of Scripture. And if what we do is against what Scripture says, we quit doing it, we call each other out on it, and we say we need to get back to the Scriptures. And that leads us from our participants, unity in Christ, to our values, the Word being real and relevant, leads us to our mission. What do we do with that? But what do we do as we gather together? And this morning, we're going to talk about that 3-part mission. We are called, at First Baptist, we say we are called to reach up, reach out, and reach in. Now, if you weren't confused before about our mission, now you're going, we're supposed to be doing jazzercise. Where are we reaching and what are we doing? So we're going to explain what we mean when we say reach up, reach out, and reach in. You can remember those words easily, and we're going to talk about what Scripture says we're to do with these 3 phrases. We're basing it off 2 passages of Scripture. One is in Matthew 22, and that is where we find what we call the Great Commandment. This is, what is the greatest commandment in Scripture? Jesus tells us in Matthew 22. We're also basing it off Matthew 28, which is called the Great Commission. What are we commissioned to do? What are we supposed to do with that commandment? And so we're going to read these 2 passages in Matthew 22 and Matthew 28 together and look at the mission of First Baptist Church. Matthew 22, starting in verse 36, says, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these 2 commands." Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, well, you know the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love God before anything else. And then he gives him a 2-for-1 special. The second is like it. It is as important. It follows, but it is equal in importance. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says there are no 2 commands in all of Scripture that are more important than these 2. These 2 sum up every other commandment in Scripture. Love the Lord your God and love the people around you. This is our great command. Then in Matthew 28, we hear the Great Commission. The last thing Jesus commissions or sends his people to do before he ascends to heaven. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, says, "Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The last thing Jesus says before he goes into heaven is, go. Go and teach people everything you know about me. Teach them how to have a relationship with me, and then baptize them to show that they have a relationship with me. Disciple them and train them in the knowledge of the Scriptures. What you're commissioning to do is to go. So these two verses summarize our mission at First Baptist Church. And I believe out of these two verses, we find the calling for us to reach up, to reach out, and to reach in. When we talk about each of these, they have a specific relationship. And we're going to get into the details of those. But in summary, to reach up is our relationship with God. We have to have a love the Lord your God relationship. To reach out is our relationship with the community around us. We have to love our neighbors and invest in them, serve them, and share the gospel with them. And to reach in is to love the church, as we're to care for one another. We're to have fellowship with one another. We're to encourage one another. Now, I like to think of our mission in this way. You know, where are you on the process of this mission? Are you reaching up? Are you reaching out? Are you reaching in? Where are you on this journey of reaching? If this is the mission, how do you get through it? Well, I like to look at it less of a linear mission and more of a circular mission. But it starts somewhere. You have to start somewhere. So this morning, if you want to be a part of what God has called the church to be a part of, it starts with reaching up. It always enters there. The first commandment that's given is love the Lord your God. Before anything else, you have to have a right relationship with God. You have to have salvation in Jesus Christ. Before your relationship with God is right, the rest of these won't matter. But you know, once you begin a relationship with God and you reach up and you say, Lord, I want to know you more and more, it doesn't end there. There's a process to where reaching up in worship leads you to reach out and serve your neighbors and leads you then to join with a local body and fellowship and care for one another. And that then would lead you to want to worship more. And so our mission really is circular. To reach up will lead you to reach out, and to reach out will lead you to reach in, which will call you to gather together to reach up again, and on it goes. So there's a beginning point, but this is a never-ending mission. God always wants you to be doing these three things. So I want to kind of go over these three things briefly and how we do them at our church. Starting off with reaching up. Reaching up deals with our relationship with God. I hope you'll take notes. There's notes in your bulletin to fill in blanks. And these will be helpful later when you think, how does God want me to function at First Baptist Church? It begins with your relationship with God. I'm a firm believer that the two commands that Jesus has given, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor, have been inversed in our society. The people in our society like these commands. Love your God, and of course they'll misinterpret that to say love whatever God you serve, but they put first and foremost love people, even before the love for God. I've seen this over and over again in churches. We want to stand on the Word of God, but it's offensive to somebody, and so we want to be careful how we word or phrase it. We want to love people so much that we can throw passages of Scripture away. But Jesus gives the greatest commandment in Matthew 28:37 when he says, love the Lord your God. The order of these commandments is not an accident. Jesus wants us first to get a right relationship with God before all else. Before anything else, our starting place is to love the Lord your God. At First Baptist, we participate in a reach up activity in two ways. The first is through our worship. Our relationship with God begins when we worship Him. We do this in a church setting by coming together on Sunday mornings, and we sing songs together, and we read Scripture together, and we hear a message from His Word, and we participate in fellowship, and we give of our tithes and offerings. And that's great. That's worship, and it certainly is. Corporate worship is essential. But really, we reach up not just when we're present in this church building. but through our daily lives. Everything we do is an act of worship to God. So when we're at work punching numbers into a computer, we may not be singing hymns, but we're doing it with the attitude of, God, you're more important than anything else. When we're fellowshipping with our neighbors, when we're hanging out with our friends, when we're out among other people, our first priority is, Lord, how am I representing you, and is my relationship with you maintained through these relationships? Everything we do in our daily lives asks the question, Lord, am I honoring you with my actions? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I worshiping you and loving you first? So the first way we reach up is through our worship of God. But there's a second way that we can reach up, and that is through discipleship, through personal growth. Lord, is my relationship with you growing? Do I know more about you today than I did yesterday? Do I know more about you this month than I did last month? Do I understand more about who you are this year than I did last year? Am I the same as the day I first accepted Christ? Or has my relationship with you grown? You know, Jesus commands the disciples in the Great Commission, not just to go out and make disciples, but he elaborates on what that means. He says in Matthew 28, verse 20, teach them to observe everything I have commanded you. Now, talk about an overwhelming commission. Jesus says, remember the last 3 years you've spent with me, disciples, watching me do miracles? Remember how I stood up on mountaintops and preached for hours on end? Remember those intimate, quiet moments where we talked together and I explained to you about the kingdom of God? Everything you've done in the last 3 years, go and find as many people as you can and tell them all of that. All right? The last 3 years, condensed to a conversation, teach them everything. This is kind of an overwhelming task, isn't it? To reach up and grow in our relationship with Christ takes longer than just a brief conversation. It takes an investment on our part. It takes us being like the Bereans in Acts 17, who are examining the Scriptures daily, digging through and saying, Lord, what more can I know about you today? And it takes us not waiting for the church to offer a program, but it takes us sitting down at home and opening our Bibles. It takes us sitting down with our children and reading Scripture together. It takes us not being okay with staying the same in our relationship with God, but striving to know Him more. Reaching up involves us worshiping Him and giving God the glory He deserves, living our lives in such a way that we honor Him, and it also involves us growing and learning and being discipled in our faith with Christ. After we establish our relationship with God, it naturally leads us then to reach out. And that affects our relationship with the community. God never intended for us to sit and read our Bibles all day and just sit in a dark room by ourselves, just us and the Word. Hundreds of years ago, there were monks, and their sole purpose was to know more about God. So they would sit in caves with other monks and maybe even take vows of silence where they wouldn't speak to anyone and do nothing but read Scripture over and over and over and over again. This practice ultimately led to corruption within the church. It ultimately led to people puffing up, thinking that they know more than they do. Eventually it led to arrogant people, and it led to the Word of God not spreading but staying confined to a few privileged people. But when we have a right relationship with God, we are called then to reach out, and it needs to impact others. That's why Jesus gives a second equal commandment. Love the Lord your God, but he says also in Matthew 22:39, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. This same word for love, used to love the Lord, is also used for love your neighbor. The way you are loving God, now take that love and apply it to other people. Love others around you. How many of you all have met Christians who are the most miserable people you've ever met? Anybody met one of those Christians that you just go, "What? Why are you so mad all the time? You know, why are you so angry?" This is the opposite of what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches if you're a Christian, you ought to be the friendliest, most, I won't say outgoing, because that's a kind of a personality trait, but But we ought to desire to love others. We ought to want other people to experience the love we have of God. And so we are called to reach out. This applies in a couple of ways. First, it means we are to serve our community. Not just to go out and say we love people, but to put action behind it. We are to be the first ones who are on the front lines to love when a disaster happens. Christians ought to be the one, when there's tragedy, that people turn to and say, we know that there's compassion. We ought to be the ones who look at our school system and say, is there anything we can do to give to our school system? We ought to be looking at our first responders and saying, how can we serve you for serving our community? We ought to be people who are looking at our neighbors and being able to go up to them and just say, can I pray for you or do anything for you? I've got a neighbor. He's a good Christian man, goes to another church, who, when we were going through a stressful time of having a newborn and our yard grew and grew and grew, didn't even ask. He just came over one day. I tease him. I think he was tired of seeing my tall grass, but really it was an act of service. He just took his lawnmower and continued from his yard over into our yard and mowed our grass about two times over the summer. Just a simple act of seeing there's a brother who needs something done and I want to go serve him. And that should be our attitude as Christians. We love God so much and He loves people so much that we need to go show our love to others. And of course, the greatest act of service, the greatest way we can reach out and serve others is through evangelism. That's a fancy word that just means telling other people about the faith we have and inviting them to join us. We ought to be telling other people how great God's love is, how it's transformed our lives, how we once were separated, but God has made us right with Him. We ought to be sharing our faith with others. That's exactly what the Great Commission says when Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. This making disciples is literally convert them over to understand the love of Jesus Christ. This is the Great Commission. Go. Go and let other people see the love of God and invite them to be a part of it. You know, we did pretty good in our mission until this point. I can worship. Show up every Sunday morning and sing songs. I can even think in my daily life, am I honoring God and worshiping Him? I can even read my Bible some. Now, maybe I don't do it every day, but I'm striving. It's a new year and I've got a reading plan. Now, I can grow in my faith. I can even volunteer to do some service projects. Sure, I can go on some short-term mission things around the town. I can give financially to missions at our church. I can go and serve our community. But you want me to open my mouth and tell other people about God? What are they going to think of me? Now, I'm afraid that the go, therefore, and make disciples is the weakest part of the mission of most churches. And I think it's not because we don't believe in God. We do. But we understand other people don't, and we're afraid they'll make fun of us for it. Hey, have you ever considered how crazy it is to think I'm ashamed to share my faith with someone else? Think about how crazy this is. Basically, what we're saying is we know something truthful that can save a life, but someone else doesn't believe it, and I'd rather them die than know the truth. It really is ludicrous. I know something that can help someone else have an eternal life and keep them from eternal damnation that God gives us with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we're called to reach in, which impacts our relationship with the church. We are called to be a part of a church body. There are many people who are Christians by name, and you've heard this before. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I can worship right here where I'm at. You know, one of my biggest fears with live streaming, this being our 1 year anniversary of live streaming, one of my biggest fears is that there would be some people who watch our services online and think that they're now a part of the church because they can view it online. Thankfully, at our church, I don't believe that that has happened. And if it is, it's a very small amount. There are other pastor friends of mine who have shared that when they started live streaming services, their attendance has gone down. I'm thankful to report that from this time last year, 1 year anniversary, our attendance has gone up. However, there's a fear that we can sit at home and carry on the mission of God. God has called us to have a relationship, not just through a computer screen, and not just through text message, not just through casual acquaintance, but a relationship with the church. Jesus wants us to know that where two or three are gathered, He is present and with them. That if there's a gathering of believers, Jesus is there. And there's a promise in the Great Commission, the very end, Matthew 28:20, when Jesus says, "Remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." There is something about coming together and experiencing Jesus together, of gathering with two or three or 100 brothers and sisters and saying, "God, you are present with us." We are called to reach in our relationship with the church. How do we do this? A couple of ways. One is through fellowship. It's simply through spending time and encouraging one another. Now, what fellowship is, if you're a Baptist like we are, typically means we eat a meal together, right? We have a good fellowship time. Somebody bring the donuts, we'll have a fellowship for Sunday school. Someone bring the potluck, we'll have a fellowship for lunch. Or let's gather together at a restaurant like we'll do later on this evening, and let's all fellowship together. Food is a big part of our fellowship. You know, fellowship is not just eating together. Fellowship involves encouraging one another. And when you get together in a meal and you spend zero time in encouragement and building others up, there's not much fellowship that goes on. That doesn't mean to fake a conversation. It doesn't mean to sit down across from a table and go, "You know, let me just tell you, I think you're a really nice person. I think you're really swell." That's not fellowship at all. Do you know what fellowship is? Fellowship is saying, "Can I share with you what God is doing in my life? Can I hear what God is doing in your life? I'm just curious. Is there something going on that I can pray for you for? Can I share with you there's something going on in my life you can pray for me for?" Fellowship involves encouragement and building one another up. You can have fellowship. This is a Baptist church, so don't throw things at me. You can have fellowship without food. You really can. You can sit down and just talk to somebody and encourage them in the faith. When we talk about reaching in, do you have relationships that you can fellowship biblically with? That you can say, "The Lord is working in my life. He's working in your life. Let's share how that is. Share with me what you're reading in Scripture. Let me share with you what I'm reading in Scripture." It's trading what God is doing. And then secondly, if we're going to reach in, we not only need to fellowship, but we need to have what I call pastoral care. Or care for one another. Now, when I say pastoral care, the reason why on the slides behind me it just says care is because I don't want you to confuse pastoral care with the pastor needs to do it, which is typically what happens. You know, reaching in means pastoral care. That is this shepherding of other people. That means when someone hurts in the church, we take it on ourselves to go and minister to them. It means that we take a special interest in the people of the church so that we can serve them. We received a lot of pastoral care when we were going through a very difficult time, losing a child a couple of years ago. And it wasn't a pastor who did it. It was our church family who wrapped their arms around us. So we're here for you and whatever you need. Many of you have experienced pastoral care, not just from a pastor, but you've had that loving, shepherding arm by a brother or a sister in Christ who came alongside and said, "I know you're struggling, and I'm here with you." But my fear is every once in a while, there's someone who's hurting, makes it known they're hurting. And our church does a poor job of reaching out and saying, I'm here for you. I want to be with you. Part of our mission to reach in is to look for those who are hurting and see how we can meet a need. Not to wait for the pastor or the deacons to meet that need, but how can I as an individual pray with someone and love somebody? The mission of the church is for us to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ with compassion and say, "I want to serve you." And this happens when we have genuine fellowship. The truth is, we don't always know the issues that are going on in your life. We don't. Unless you make them known, we don't know whether you've been in the hospital or not. We don't know if you've lost a loved one or not. You have to share those things, but you know when they get shared is when you're reaching in fellowship. When you have that person that you can sit down with and say, "I just want to share with you what's going on." Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul writes, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all." But listen to this. "Especially for those who belong to the household of faith." Paul says we ought to work for the good of everyone. but especially those brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to be there for. We ought to love one another. We ought to experience life together so that when you hurt, I hurt. When you rejoice, I rejoice. In the mission of our church, to reach up in worship, to reach out to our community, and to reach in to our church, is really the mission of the church at large. We may phrase it, reach up, reach out, reach in, but what it boils down to is, do we have a genuine love for God? Are we sharing that love with the people around us? And are we caring and loving on the brothers and sisters we have in our midst? So this morning, maybe you're asking yourself, what is the mission for me? How do I get involved in the mission at First Baptist Church? It begins by making sure you are reaching up and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That entry point, am I genuinely worshiping because I've put my faith and trust in Him? Then God is going to call you to grow in your faith. God is going to call you to share that with others. He's going to call you to join in with a local body and reach in to serve one another. He's going to call you then to continue worshiping, and on it will go. But it begins with the decision to worship fully and trust fully salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for my church family. I thank you for the mission that you've called us to. Lord, I thank you for the commandment to love you first and to love others alongside. Lord, I thank you for the commission, the calling to go out, to share that love with others. Lord, I thank you for the mission of your word. Lord, I pray this morning that everyone in here in this very moment would work on reaching up to you in worship. They would think about the relationship they have with you and ask, first and foremost, have I ever genuinely worshiped God? Do I really know Him as my Lord and Savior? Lord, this morning I pray that you would show every person in here with confidence that if they ask forgiveness of sins, you will forgive. That if they pledge to follow you, that you will guide them. Lord, let us all worship you this morning with assurance of our salvation. Lord, we just pray that each person in this church would then use that to reach out to our community, to share our faith and be bold. That we would use it as an opportunity to join with a church family and love and invest in the lives of others. And Lord, again, bring us back to calling the worship of you. Lord, we thank you for your mission. We thank you for your word. And we pray now that each of us would be a part of the mission of your church. It's in your name we pray. Amen.